Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Goran Kesuvos Daf Samach Tes. We're already more than halfway down the Omud Aleph of Samach Tes Omud Aleph. We're three lines into the wider lines with the words Omer HaMeimer. That's where we're starting, Samach Tes Omud Aleph, three lines into the wider lines. So we're going to have today a further understanding of the concept of a girl who's Nebuch orphaned. So from her father's estate, she's entitled to get a certain dowry. The boys inherit, of course, the estate. If the presence of boys, the girls don't inherit. But the rabbis were misaking that the girl should get a tenth of the estate. That's what we discussed in the previous year. There are those that say you estimate what the father would have given, and maybe you could give more, maybe you give less, whether he's a vatran or kamsan. But we're talking now within the opinion that says that the girls normally get one tenth of the estate, which is certainly the opinion of everybody, when we can't estimate what the father would have given. So Amar Meimer tells us, how do we view this one-tenth that she's entitled to get? So Meimer says, Bas Yoreshes Havya, we view this as if it's an inheritance. Mi d'Rabbanan, we now say that she inherits one-tenth of the estate. This is very questionable. And in fact, Meimer is going to retract his position because Rav Ashi asks him, he says, Amalei Rav Ashi LaMeimer, really? Ilu boy lesaluka bezuze. If her brothers who really inherited the estate said, listen, we'll give you money. We'll give you, instead of giving you property that's one-tenth of the estate, we'll give you the money that's one-tenth of the estate. So let's say it's $10,000. See, it's $10,000. Go away. We're not giving you the property. So they wouldn't have the right to do that. According to you, it's a Yerusha. No, they wouldn't have the right to do this. One brother can't tell the other brother, say, you take the money and I'll take the land. If the other brother doesn't want that, no, he's entitled to 50% of the land. And they have to divide the land 50% and the metalpolin 50%. So you're telling me, Rav Ashi says to Meimer that the brothers can't go and give her money instead of the land that she's really Yoresh says? Meimer says, yeah, I'm a lay in. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. She inherits the land. So this 10% is considered like an inheritance there, and they can't force her up by giving her money. Rav Ashi questions further, and he says, Ibaila Saluka Bechada Ara. And if they want to give her one piece of land as opposed to she gets 10% of every one of the lands, they can't do that. Hachanami Lomotzi Masalikla, that's really a Yerusha that they can't go and give her just 10% of whatever they want, that she gets 10% of every single piece of land, and Amalei, again, Meimer says, back to Rav Ashi, yeah, and that's how I paskin. On the other hand, Rav Ashi himself disagrees. Rav Ashi Omar, Baz, Balas, Chov Havya. We view this daughter as a Balchov. She's a creditor for this 10%. Now, there are dinim that make a big difference whether you're a creditor or you're an inheritor. So we view this girl as being a balas chov, and therefore you can only collect from certain types of properties and only in certain situations. So she's a balas chov for this 10%, but not an inheritor. And in fact, a Meimer ultimately retracted his position and admitted that Rav Ashi was correct. V'af a Meimer hoder bay, because we see from the following story that a Meimer retracted. The Omer Rav Manyumi berei the Rav Nichumi. Rav Manyumi, who was the son of Rav Nichumi, said, "Havo kuimno kamei da Meimer." I was once sitting in front of a beis din where a Meimer was the judge. V'asai hay itzel kamei, and a certain woman came to him to go and ask for an adunya. Davos koboyi iser nechosim. She wanted to collect the 10% that she's entitled to as an adunya that the rabbi set up. And I was able to understand that his opinion was, the Meimer's opinion was, the Iboyle Saluke Bezuze Havi Misalikla, that if the brothers had wished to give her money instead of giving her 10% of all the land, like a Meimer originally said that she was a Yoresh, that she's entitled to 10% of all the land, and they can't push her off with giving her money. So he understood, Chazita Ladaita, I saw in his understanding that a Meimer would have in fact allowed the brothers to go and give her just 10% in cash and push away from not having any Yerusha, because I saw that Ameima heard the Shami Me'achai, the brother said to her, to their sister, Davakarmi La, Ilu Havalon Zuze, if we in fact had movable cash, if we had fluidity, then we would salikno bezuze. We would give you the money. But we don't have fluidity, so we're stuck. So we're going to give you part of the karka because we don't have the 10% in cash to give you. And Ameima didn't say boo. The ishtek, v'lo omaluhu v'lo midi. Since Ameima didn't say anything, it must be that he, in fact, agreed with the brothers. Now, why? Well, they weren't saying that they were actually going to do it. They were just even suggesting it. So Tosus brings down, very important idea, in Dibur Masel v'ishtek, he says, Mikan rogil Rabbeinu Tam, kisha yoshe b'din, that Rabbeinu Tam, when he would sit as a judge in a din, v'echo mibalidinim megazim l'chaveru, and one of the two balidinim would go and exaggerate a claim to his friend, v'omer, kach v'kach tischayv li b'din, that, oh, you really are obligated to me for this, but only asking for that, then Rabbeinu Tam would shut him up. Rogil Rabbeinu Tam, l'mar shekarat adover, that you're saying something that's not correct. Kilo yischayv, that you're not obligated to have paid that that amount of money. And in fact, this wasn't the din that the dayan must speak up, even if it's not a, so to say, halacha lemaisa, it's not going to impact the claim. But one of them just makes an exaggerated claim. He says, I'm not going to ask for this, but I could have. So the dayan has to speak up. So just like over here, so too, Rav Ben Yumi was able to understand from the fact that a member didn't say anything, that in fact, even though the brothers didn't have the cash to pay her, but from the fact they said, if we had the cash, we would push you off. And a member didn't say, that's not true. It's a Yerush and you can't push you off. It must be that a member actually retracted his opinion and holds like Rav Ashi, that we view this as a Balchov. The daughter is a Balchov for this 10% and not a Yoreshes. Okay. Now, now that we all agree, even a member is mother to Ravashi, that she's considered a balas chov, how do we view her chov? How do we view this 10%? Is it from the Abba, that the father owes her the 10%? Or is it that the brothers owe her the 10%? No, what difference does it make? The bottom line is, the estate owes her the 10%. What difference does it make? It's from the father, or it's from the brothers who inherit the estate? What's the difference? So what says, l'migba l'veinonis, shelo b'shvua, v'ziburis b'shvua. So the difference would be, are you allowed to go collect over here from Beinunis without a Shvuah? If you're a Baal Chov doesn't have to go and make a Shvuah that he never collected the money beforehand. The Baal Chov has an IOU, he can go collect without making a Shvuah. And likewise, he's allowed to collect from the middle-level properties, what are called the Beinunis. However, if, in fact, you're collecting over here as a Yerusha from the father, so then in that situation, so then the orphans have the right to say, no, we're only giving you from the Ziburis, and you can't collect without making a Shua, because we don't know what went on. So if you're collecting from the father, so to say, so then the Baal Chov is collecting from the father, not from the sons who inherit the estate, and therefore you collect from Beinonis without a Shua. This is how Rashi understands it. And instead of seeing the Rashi inside, I just explained it outside. Uzibur is Meshua, but if we consider the sons not to be the Baal Chov, they're just, so to say, inheriting this Baal Chov from their father, and they have to pay it, but then they can and demand that the person make a shvua that they didn't collect it already from the father, and they can also only pay from Ziburis and not from Beninus. So what is that locha mai? Do we consider them to be, the daughter to be a Baal Chov to the father, or a Baal Chov to the brothers? So, Tashma, we learn a riot from the following. The Ravina, Agbe Livrate the Ravashi, when Nebuch, Ravashi passed away, so his daughter was collecting the Nadunya, the 10%. So Ravina went and collected for the daughter of Ravashi, the 10%, but she collected Mimar Berei the Ravashi from Ravashi's son, so she collected over there, Beninus Shul B'Shvua. She collected half of what she was owed, 5% of the 10%, from one of Ravashi's sons, Mar Bereda Ravashi, so there she collected from the Beinonis Shelo B'Shvua. In other words, it was considered to be the father, that she was the Balas Chov with the father, and therefore she was able to collect without having to make a Shvua that she already gotten it, and she was able to collect for Beinonis. However, Ravashi had another son, Nunebuch, passed away. As Rashi points out, Ravashi died. Umeis Rav Sama Beno Bechayev. Now Rashi says that he died during his lifetime. Others disagree and say he didn't die during his lifetime. We'll leave that aside for now. But he had two sons. He had Mar Bar Ravashi and he had Rav Sama Bar Ravashi. And Rav Sama had a son. So now this son was inheriting in the place of Rav Sama the other half of the estate, right? Because the two brothers, each of them inherited half the estate. Let's assume neither was a Bechor, so each collect 50% of the estate. So Rav Sama is dead, so his children inherit through the kever, and they take his place. And this, however, mi berei the Rav Sama, berei the Rav Ashi from the grandson, Rav Sama's son, they only collected over here ziburis bishvua, the other 50% of the 10%, the other 5%, here they only collected from ziburis, from the worst properties, and she had to make sure that she hadn't gotten this. Because here, it definitely is that she is collecting from somebody who is not the debtor themselves. She's collecting from the son over here. Here, the son of Rav Sama. So Rav Sama, he would have been a derech chov on him. But his son, that's an inheritance. So therefore, certainly from the grandson, Rav Sama's son, so therefore, in this situation, for me, you can only collect ziburis and shvua. No, the bottom line is that we see that clearly we paskin that when the girl is a balas chov, she's a balas chov to her brothers, the achai, and not from the father. So Rabbi Nechemi, who's the son of Rav Yosef, sent the following to Rabba bar Rav Huna Zuta. Rabba was the son of the Rav Huna Zuta, who came from Nardai, as opposed to the regular Rav Huna that we know, who was the Talmud Mufok of Rav. So, in any event, Rav Nechemiah sent him the following. Ki asya ha'idso lekamach, when a certain girl is going to come to you to go collect an adunya from a man in your area, so when she comes to you, agbo isu nechosim afilu mitzrubla. Go and collect her from, you have to go collect from Karkoi. You only can collect this from Karka and not from Metaltalin. So in this situation, he considered the Itztrubla. What is the Itztrubla? Rashi says, Moshav Amasa Rechaim. This is the bottom stone of the Rechaim, of the millstone. And this is considered Kimar Karkoi. So therefore, he said that she's entitled to the 10%. And you can even collect it from the Itztrubla. Okay. Similarly, Amar Ravashi said, Ki Avinam Rav Kahana, when I was by Rav Kahana, he allowed the women to collect over here from something that was also like karka, but not real karka. Havamagbinun afilu me amola debese. They would allow to collect this nedunya from the amola debese. Rashi says, Schirus habatim mi mikarkoi kosi. The rentals that were due, they hadn't yet been paid. Once they paid, then it's a toddler. But the rentals that were due, it's considered, since it's coming from Karka, it's considered like Karka, and he will allow them to collect the Nadunya, even from those rentals that hadn't yet come into the hands of the owner of those properties. Another Maisa, Shalach Rav Anan Rav Huna, Rav Anan, who was a big Talmud Chacham, but he was, as we'll see, subordinate to Rav Huna, so he sent to Rav Huna the following. Also, a woman is going to come from his area into Rav Huna's area, and he wanted to have her have like his haskama that she should be entitled to go collect in Adunya. So he sent the following letter. He sent him, Huna Chavrin Shlom. So he sent him a letter, and he said to my friend Huna, he called him his friend. We'll see, this is a problem. Shalom. He said, Shalom Aleichem. So, Ki Asya Ha Issa Lekamach, when the certain woman from my area comes to you to go collect in Adunya, yes, she's entitled to go collect this 10% of the dowry, the nedunya, from the nechasim of her brothers, from the estate of her father. Now, Rav Huna was not happy that he was being referred to by Rav Anan as his friend. He was Rav Anan's Rebbe, or certainly a greater person than Rav Anan, and he didn't think this language appropriate. So, Havi Yosef Rav Sheshes Kameh, so Rav Sheshes was sitting by Rav Huna when he got this message, this letter from Rav Anan, and Rav Sheshes was going to be sent to Rav Anan to give him Musar. So Amalei, so Rav Huna tells Rav Sheshes, now Rav Sheshes wouldn't be happy about this, so therefore Rav Huna phrases it in the following way, you have no choice, but you have to carry out my directive. So Zil Amalei, you go, Rav Sheshes, and go tell Rav Anan. Uvishamto yehi mandalo Amalei, and if you don't do this, I'm going to put you into Shamta. So in other words, Rav Sheshes had no choice. And I want you to say exactly the way I'm telling you. Don't change around one thing. Don't delete anything. Say exactly the way I'm saying it. And I want you to go tell Rav Anan the following message. Now, he's going to verbally tell it to him. Rav Anan had sent him a letter. And that will be part of the explanation I'll make for this story in a moment. So I want you to go tell Rav Anan the following. You call him Anan, Anan. Say the name twice. Mi mikarkoi, o mi metaltli. That which you want me to collect is 10%. Should I collect it from Karka, or can I collect it even from metaltli? And then you tell him, Uman Yosef Bey Marzicha Beresha, who sits at the house in the Marzicha at the head? Normally, the greatest person in the room sits at the head of the table. But a Marzicha, which we'll explain in a moment, the Gemara, is the Beis Avel, and there we let the people that are needing Nechama go sit at the head. And even though they're not the greatest people, they sit at the head. So this was a little bit of a shtach that he was telling him that, Anon, you may be a great person, but you're not the greatest person. There are people that sit ahead of you, and you were inappropriate in calling me Huna. You should have called me Rav Huna. Okay, again, this is not a personal vendetta. This is something that a person has to be taught how to properly treat Gedolei Hador. In any event, that's the message that Rav Huna sent Rav Sheshes to go tell Rav Anan. So also Rav Sheshes coming to Rav Anan. So Rav Sheshes goes in a little bit of trepidation in front of Rav Anan, and Amalei says to Rav Anan, Mar Rabba, you, Rav Anan, are indeed my Rebbe. I would never speak to you this way. However, Rav Huna, Rebbe the Rabba, but Rav Huna is your Rebbe as well, and I don't have a choice. So you and I both have to listen to our Rebbe, Rav Huna. V'shamuti shamis mandal omerle. And Rav Huna said, if I don't say this over exactly the way he said it, he's going to put me in chayrim, in shanta. And therefore, I have no choice but to say exactly what he said. Bilav, if I don't say it over, v'shamis lo hava koimna. If it wasn't for the fact that I would be put into chayrim for saying this, for not saying this exactly I was told, I would never say this to you. So in other words, he was apologizing already for what he was about to say to Rav Anan. And he said, this is what Rav Huna told me to tell you. Anon, Anon. Again, he quoted exactly verbatim as he was told. Mim mekarkoi, o mim metal tzoloi. Am I going to go and collect this 10% that you want me to collect for the dunya for this orphan girl from the estate? Am I collecting it from Karko or am I collecting it from a Tathli? And then, Uman Yosef Bey Marzicho Bereshit, and who's sitting at the head in the house of the Ovel? Now, Ravana didn't know what Marzicho meant, which we'll see is a critical point to the story. So Ravana was very upset to be spoken to this way. Also, Ravana lekamei barukva. So Ravana goes to Marukva and he says to Mama Lay, "Listen, what happened over here? Chazi Mar Hechi Shalach Li Ravuna. Look at the disrespect that Ravuna sent me. He calls me Anan Anan, right? Which is a double lashon. The Maram Shif points out that he was very upset. He called him a double lashon of Anan Anan. It wasn't like he was just calling his name. He was saying you are Anan and not Rav Anan. But oh, he says, I don't understand. Marzicho de Shalach Li." I have no idea what this mazich is that he's even asking me about. So Marukva senses something is going on. So Amalei says, "Nu, Emily, easy. Nu, do me a favor, my friend. Tell me over here what exactly happened. Tell me the whole story." Return to Samach Tesla base. So he says, "Gufa di uvda hechihaba. What exactly happened over here?" Obviously, there's much more to this story. As Rashi says, "Tchilas advarim ma loshon shalach delo. How did you address him that he responded in this way?" No, so Rav Aaron's an honest, great Talmud Chacham, and he tells him exactly what happened. This is what I sent to him, and this is what he sent back to me. I'm surprised. So Marukva tells him, "Don't be surprised." Amalei, Gabro deliyoda, my niu marzicha, shalach le Rav Huna, Huna chavrin. You, Rav Aaron, don't know what a marzicha is, and yet you are willing to call Rav Huna your friend. Only a person who's as great as Rav Huna should be calling Rav Huna by his first name, Huna. You should have called him Rav Huna. So you were incorrect in calling him Huna Chavrin, and that's why he wanted to teach you a lesson, and that's why he called you Anon Anon, to teach you that you don't call Rav Huna Huna unless you're on his level. Now, Gemara now says, "My Marzicha." What exactly is a Marzicha? So those that are doing the Nach Yomi, so this was actually in the perek that we learned yesterday. My Marzicha, Nach Yomi is a wonderful thing for people to really get a full understanding of all of Nach. So Marzicha is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu where it says, Ko Amar Hashem Al Tovo Beis Marzeach V'Gomer. Yirmiyahu says that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't go to the Beis Ovel, to the Beis Marzeach, and give Nechama to the people that are there. There are going to be so many people, Nebuch, that will be dying in Nebuch, the horrific prophecies that Yirmiyahu predicted, so you won't even have a chance to go to the Beis Marzeach. So we see that the Lashon Marzeach is an Ovel. Okay. Amar Revo, Minayin Liovel Shemeis Barosh. How do we know that the people that are the mourners in the Beis Ovel actually sit at the head? That was the question that Rav Huna asked him. And the din is normally the greatest person sits at the head, but in the Beis Ovel, we let the mourners sit at the head. So how do we know this? So we have two explanations. The first one is from Rabbi Yavo, and he says, Shenemar, Evchar darkom v'eshev rosh v'yeshkon kemelech bagidud kasher avelim yinachem. So he would sit over there, and like a king amongst all of his army, as one gives nechoma kasher avelim yinachem. So Gemara says that Yinachem is the wrong word. Yinachem, acherimash, means the other people sit at the head, not the Ovel himself. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, no, we read this word, Yinucham, not Yinachem, but you read it as Yinucham, meaning he will be the one sitting at the head, the one who is being getting the Nechama, in other words, the Ovel himself. So that's the first source that we have where the mourner goes and sits at the head in the Beis Ovel. Marzucha gives a different source. Marzucha Omar Mehocha. It's from the following pasuk. This is a pasuk from Amos where it says, Vesor Mirzach Seruchim. There will be a lot of mourning over here in this base of it. What does that mean? Mar Vizach, a person who's very, very bitter and who's Zoch, who is not attached. So, Nasa Sar Lusuchim. He will become a Sar. It's a play on the word Sar Lusuchim for those people that are coming to give him Nechama. In other words, he sits at the head and they're going to come to him. Finally, we conclude on Marava Hilchasa. How do we paskin? Mi mekarkoi velo mi metaltli. The dunya is only allowed to be collected from karka and not metaltli. And this is true not only of the dunya, Bela Mazoni. This is the Mazonos that the wife and the daughters are entitled to collect from the estate. Bein l'ksuba, the ksuba that the wife collects from the estate is only collected from karka, bein l'farnosa, as well as in the dunya. So all three of these things, the mizonos, the ksuba itself, and the parnosa can only be collected from karka, from the estate, and not from metaltel in the estate. However, Tosus points out over here, in Dibra Maskel, Amar Rabbi Hilchasa, that we already learned on Daf Nun Aleph, Peirashnu, and Tosus there explained it clearly that in the times of the Gaonim this changed. So by Tosis' time, which is ready after the Gaonim, the Zman is there, Kulu Mimetaltli. You're allowed to collect all of these, the Mizonos, the Ksuba, and the Parnosa, even from Metaltli. Now we go on to the next Mishnah, Hamashlish Mos Lebito. If a man goes and gives over money to his daughter via a shlish, in other words, he instructed this third-party person to go and purchase karka that could either be Nirsei Tzon Barzel or Nirsei Malug, which would be given over to her as part of her Nedunya. Her husband would have the rights to use the payros from this, and in this way, the father is making sure that she has this Nedunya for all time, and the husband does get the right to use the produce. But the daughter says, nah, it's okay, I trust my husband. V'yomeris Nemon Olai Bali, Nemon Bali Olai, I trust my husband, and it's okay, you don't have to go purchase this, give my husband the money, and he'll go purchase it for me. So the Mishnah tells us, Yasa Shlish Mash Hushlash Biyodo Devi Rebeir. Rebeir says, we don't accept her telling the Shaliach, this third party, go and give it to the husband. We say, no, follow what the father said. Rebeir's opinion is that you have to go and follow what the father wanted in this situation and buy the property, and the husband will be entitled to use the produce from this property. But you can't go and give it straight to the husband and let the husband buy the property. Now, there's a very controversial Rashi that says, V'hi omeres li'achar sheniseis. She says that this occurs after she's already in a suah. Now, Tosos and many of the other Rishonim jump on this, and Tosos says, Pirish Bekuntres, and Nidra Basla Mashli, she says, Pirish Bekuntres, V'hi omeres nemon olai li'achar sheniseis. So he says, Rashi is low doc. Rashi wasn't careful with his language over here. The Begmara maskinon deleka bein Rav Meir bein Rav Yosi ela gedola min ha'erisin. That the only time there's a machlokas over here is during the erisin period of time. But once she's in a suah, she does have the right to do this because it's her possession. However, many of the Mefarshim explain Rashi as he's saying that during the erisin period of time, she says, give it to my husband, li'acha shenises, you can give it to him after we're married. And that would reconcile Rashi seemingly going against the Gemara. In any event, we now go back to the Mishnah where we have Rav Yossi's opinion. Rav Yossi Omer, no. V'chi'eno elo soda. What happens if he had bought a soda? V'yirotze lemochu. And if she wanted to sell it? Harehi mechura be'achsha. So she'd be allowed to go and sell it. So therefore, there's no reason why we don't listen to the daughter over here. And you can give the money directly to the husband. And the Gemara again will explain that this is only talking about during the Arusa period of time that there's a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, "B'medvar Murim, what are we talking about?" It says, "Bigdola, when she is a Gdola, Abu Bakhtana. But if she's not yet a Gdola, she's a Ktana, so her actions have no effect. And Ein Maisei Ketana Klum, and therefore, this would not apply if she was a Ktana. Then we certainly would follow the Shlish according to everybody." Tanur Bar Gemara starts off and says, "Amashlish Mos Lechasano Likach Mi'am Tzod Levito." The Brisa that we're now going to say essentially rephrases what the Mishnah said. So you have the Shlish, the father gives the money to the Shlish and tells him to go buy a field for the Nedunya for his daughter, and the husband will be entitled to use the produce of this field, either as the Nirsei Malug or as Nirsei Tzon Barzel. V'yomeris Yinasi Labali, but the daughter says, "No, I want you to give the money directly to my husband. You don't have to buy the field, he'll buy the field for me." So if this is Minha Nisui, and if she's already in Nisua, and here's what Tosafot pointed out, it says Beferish in the Gemara that we're talking about that if she's in Nisua, Rishus Biyada, everybody would agree. Even Rav Meir would agree in that situation that we listen to her. However, Minha Erisin, Rav Meir's opinion is if she was only in Arusa, then she's not listened to. And Yasa Shlish Masha Hushlash Biyado, you have to follow what the father said, and you have to give the property to the woman. They buy the property. The shlish buys the property, and the husband will have the right to the produce. However, Rav Yossi disagrees, and the Brice as well, like he did in the Mishnah, Hagidola, if this is an adult woman, so he says, no, even if she's only an Arusa, Bein Minam Isuin, and whether she's a Arusa, and certainly if she's an Isua, Harushos Biyodah, she has the right to do so. However, if she's a Ketana, Bein Minam Isuin, Bein Minam Eris, it doesn't make any difference whether she's fully married or not, Yasa Shlish, Masha Harushos Biyodah, she has no right, the Ketana's actions are nothing, and therefore the Shlish has to do what he's told to do. Now, what's the machlokas of Yemai Beinayu between Rabbi Meir and Rav Yossi? So Gemara says there's two possibilities over here. Idlem, are you going to tell me that it's Ketana min ha-Nisuin Ika Beinayu, that they're arguing about if she's a Ketana from Nisuin? The Rabbi Meir saw by Rishus B'yodah that even a Ketana who's in a Suwa, she has the right to say, give it to my husband. And also Rabbi Yossi, Lameima, Afilu min ha-Suin Nami, Gedola in Ketana. No, that only a Gedola can do this, but a Ketana not. So they're arguing about whether Ketana has the ability, so that can't be because Ema Seifa. It says, Abu B'Ketana, Ema Seiktana Klum. So clearly, the Mishnah says that the Maisim of Ketan are Klum. Now, if you're going to tell me that that's Rav Yossi, who's the author of the Seif of the Mishnah, which says, if you're going to tell me that it's only Rav Yossi, and Rav Meir disagrees, Rav Yossi, we already learned in the Reisha that Rav Yossi says that, because the Amar Rav Yossi, the Reisha says, we said, if this was a field that the Shlish bought, wouldn't she have the right to sell it? So she could go and sell it. So what difference does it make if she gives the money straight to her husband, or they buy her the field, and then she gives the money to her husband, she sells it. So Gdolu Basvini in Ketana Delav Basvini Hilo. So obviously it's only talking about somebody who can sell the field. So only Gdolu can sell the field, the Ketana can't sell the field. So the Reisha, we already know, the Rav Yossi says it can't apply to a Ketana. So obviously, the Bamed Dvar Mamurim in the Seifa must be Rav Meir, and therefore, the Chisuri Mechsu of Achitoni, what this is saying in the Seifa of the Mishnah is as follows. Yes, Shlish, Mashu, Shlish, Biyodo. Rav Meir holds that the Shlish has to do what he's told to do, but only Bamed Dvar Mamurim in Aresin, only if it's an Arusa, Avon Menesu, and Arushus Biyodo. But as we pointed out, if she's in a Suwa, then she does have the right to go and say, no, don't buy the field for me, give the money to my husband. And even there, Bamed Dvar Mamurim, it's only when she's a Bigdola. Avon Biktana, Ain Masa Ketana Klum. So clearly, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi both agree that the Maisim of a Ketana are nothing. You see Rav Yossi from the Reisha, and you see Beferish, that the Sefer therefore must be talking about Rav Meir's opinion. So therefore, that can't be what they're arguing about. So therefore, the only thing that Rav Meir and Rav Yossi are arguing about is Ela Gedola Min Ha'eretz in Ikrenayu. She is a Gedola, so her actions would count, but she's only the first stage of marriage, only as Eresin. And therefore, that's where they're arguing about. Rav Meir says, no, you follow what the father said to do, which is give it to the Shlish, and Rav Yossi says, if she's a Gedola, then you follow what she wants to do. Itmar, the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halachi Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, the Halach is like Rav Yossi, that you, in fact, go and do what she wants to do. Whereas Rav Amar Rav Nachman disagrees. Rav Amar Rav Nachman says, Halachi Rav Meir, we pass it like Rav Meir. Now, Gemara quotes a famous story. Ilfa was a great Talmud Chacham. He was a chaver of Rav Yochanan. He was even greater than Rav Yochanan, as we'll see from the story. But Ilfa, Tala Nafshe B'Iskariya de Mahusa. Ilfa, as we'll see, he came back. Rashi brings down the story. The Gemara in Tainus tells us that Ilfa and Rav Yochanan were both very, very poor, and they were in the base medrash learning, but it came to the point in time when they had nothing to support themselves, so they decided to go off into the business world. But then a bas kol came to them while they were sleeping the night before they were going off to the business world and said, don't go. So only Rav Yochanan heard this bas kol. Ilfa didn't hear this bas kol. And therefore, Rav Yochanan stayed, and Ilfa went. So when Ilfa finally comes back, I don't know how long he was away. He comes back, and Rav Yochanan is the head of the academy. And they told Ilfa, if you had stayed, you were greater than Rav Yochanan, you would be the head of the academy. So he tells them, I didn't lose anything by going out. I kept up my learning. And it's not like I decreased my learning. So therefore, Ilfa, Tola Navshe B'Iskariya de Mechusa, to prove his point in a very demonstrative way, he goes up to the top of a sail on top of a ship, on the long post on the top of the ship, the mast of the sail, and he goes up on it, and he says, Omar, Iko Diyasi, is there anybody here? The Omar Li Milsa Devei Ruchi of Rav Oshaya. Is there anybody here that can bring me one of the brises from Ruchi and Rav Oshaya, which were not codified as part of the Mishnah, because Rebbe was able to have them all in the Mishnayis, and Ruchi and Rav Oshaya took these extra statements in the Tanoim and kept them outside. That's brises, means outside the Mishnah, but it must be that there's nothing new in the brises, everything is in the Mishnah. So Ilfa said, if anybody can find me a brise of Ruchi Rav Oshaya, the lo fashtina le mi mastisin, and I can't find you the source of the Mishnah, then nefila mi iskaya v'tavana, then I'll jump off this top of the boat, from the top of the sail of the boat, and I'll drown in the water. Ben Yehuda says, how could he possibly do something like that? Not like go commit suicide, even if it's something like this. So Ben Yehuda says, in his wonderful style, he says that Ilfa was actually a cliff diver, and he would have been able to dive off and not hurt himself, but he was basically pointing out, it ain't going to happen. In other words, I kept up my learning even while I went off of the business world. So also, Ahu Saba, which is often Elio, not sure that it's Elio over here. In any event, Ahu Saba, an older man, comes along and Tanalei asks him the following, Braisa from Rav Chia and Rav Oshaya, and says, where do you find this in the Mishnais? So Omer, Tenu Shekel Avonai B'Shabbos. The man says to the people in charge of his estate that after I pass away, I want you to go and give a shekel to each of my children each week. Shabbos doesn't mean on Shabbos, it means for the week. So, Urui L'Tenelam sell it. Now, a shekel is half of a seller, and they really needed a full seller, two shekels worth, in order to go and be sustained. So, no Selim seller. Then we give them the seller, because that's been stumbled what the father wanted. V'im Omar, Al Tidnu Lehem El Shekel. But if he said, no, do not give them more than a shekel. So, even though they need two shekels, ain't no Selim El Shekel. Nope, the father was basically saying, no, this is all I want to give them. V'im Omar, and furthermore, if he said, listen, Im Mesu, when these children die, so then I want somebody else to go and take over the rest of the estate. It's only for them during their lifetime, but the rest of the estate after their death, I want to be handed over to somebody else. Yirshua Acherim Tachteim, I want it to go over to somebody else. So the father has the right to distribute his money any way he wants during his lifetime. He's not going against the laws of Yerusha. So then, in that situation, Ben Shamar Tnu, Ben Shamar Altnu, whether he used it in a more general sense, give them a shekel, which we would say means really give them two shekels if they need it. Or if he says even the Lashon Hara, absolutely don't give them more than one shekel, so certainly that's what it means. So ein nosen lan al shekel. Here, in this situation where there's somebody else that he wants to get the money, so then you can't give them one penny more than he said that they should get. Now, that was the Braisa. So where is this Braisa in the Mishnayis? So Amalei, so Ilfa responded to this Hau Saba, and he said, Hamani, who is this? And we turn to Ayinu and Olive. This is the opinion of Rav Meirhi, Rav Meir, the Yama Mitzvah L'Kayim Diri Ameis, who says that you have to follow what the person who's going to die, what he says is a mitzvah to follow his words. So therefore, we follow the instructions. In our Mishnah, we said, if the father said to the Shlish, I want you to go buy the property, so you can't have the daughter say that, no, it's okay to give it to the husband. You have to follow the words of the father. Mitzvah L'Kayim Diri Ameis. He says, Hilchus, how do we pass in Bein Shama Tnu, Bein Shama Altitnu, Noslem Kol Tzarkum? He goes against what we just said. He says, even if you use the Lashon of Altitnu, don't give them more than one shekel, we still give them a full two shekels, the seller, if that's what they need. You give them whatever they need, because that's not what the father really meant. Gemara says, we just said that Lach is like Rebeya, that there's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. How can you say that we don't l'kayim the divrei ameis? The Yom mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis, how can you say we don't follow that? So Gemara says, no, because that's not what he really meant. We have a mitzvah to follow the words of the mates when we don't really know what he wanted, and therefore he says, this is what I want. In regards to his children, the father certainly wants to provide all the needs of his children. What did he say? Don't give them more than a shekel. He wanted them to understand that it's not a free lunch. I want you to understand that this money came at great expense, and you just can't be a spendthrift and just use it any way you want. So I want you to know, I don't want you using more than a shekel a week. Of course, if you need more than a shekel a week, that's what the father really wanted to give them, but it was just to be mizaris them, to spur them to go and be careful with money. Mark continues and says, Tanan Hasim, we learned in a Mishnah, this Mishnah is found in Gittin, Ha Pa'utos. Pa'utos is a word that we use for young children below the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah. Mekon Mekach Umem Korin Mekker. So if they sell something or if they buy something, so those deals are Midah Rabbanan valid. Technically, Midah Raisa, only a Gadol can be Kohen as something or sell something, but Midah Rabbanan, we don't want people walking up to a Katan and grabbing stuff from them, so therefore their deals are considered valid. There are some exceptions to this rule. For example, if it's property that belongs to the father, so the children aren't allowed to sell it, not only when they're gedolim, but even until the age of 20, because they don't fully understand the value of it. In any event, Omer Rafim says, Lo shanu el shein sham apotropos. This is true that their mekach is considered mekach unless there was appointed a court guardian, an apotropos. Aval yesham apotropos, but if there's a court guardian, ein mekach mekach ve'ein mekach mimkarin mekach. Then we don't say that the deals that they do are good deals, because there's somebody overseeing them that should be taking care of all the deals, not them. Now, how do we know this? Mimai. It's because Mitani ain't my Sikatana Klum from our Mishnah that says that the actions of a Katan or a Katana are in fact meaningless. So our Mishnah had a Katana, but the same thing that would apply by a Katan. Or it says that's not a Raya. Maybe that's different when you have a Shlish. But Dilma Hecho de Iko Shlish, shiny. When you have a Shlish who's specifically designated to do that, so then you say that the actions of the Katan or Katana in our Mishnah are irrelevant. But by an apotropos who's basically supposed to take care of the needs, so if they take care of their own needs, that's fine as well. So Gemara says, no, if that were the case, Imke listening, then our Mishnah should have said, Avo Biktana Yase Shlish Mashu Hushlash Biyodo. It would have said a different lashon. It should have said the Shlish should do what was asked for him to do. My ain my Siktana Klum. Why did it say that the actions of the Ketana are nothing? Shmami no, Afilu B'alma. This is true in other places as well, that unless you have a specific situation where this is negated, then as Rashi says, "Afilu ba'alma b'makom apotropos the domik tzas l'shlish." So we say that the ein ma'isim of a ketana are not. Therefore, that which we said is not a contradiction. Ein mekan mekach, ein memkar mekar. When you have an apotropos. With this, we conclude the beautiful sixth parak. Hadron alecha mitzias isha, hadron alecha mitzias isha, hadron alecha mitzias isha. Now it's relatively early, and the next part of this omelet is a new parak. And normally we'd stop over here, but we want to catch up in extra time, so let's continue with the beautiful start of the seventh parak. The Mishnah tells us, Hamadir es ishto melehanos lo ad shloshim yom. What's the scenario over here? So Rashi explains that we're not talking about tashmish that we had discussed previously. Of course, that's a shibud that the wife has on her husband. So the husband can't say, I'm not providing you with that. But the husband is allowed to say, and the Gemara will question, how can you do this? He's supposed to support her. So how is he allowed to say that you're not allowed to get any hana from me for 30 days? So if the husband makes that neder, the Gemara will explain why that neder actually works. And he says this, that you can't get any hana from me for 30 days. So yamid parnas. So he does have to support his wife. And again, the Gemara will explain, how come that he uses a parnas? Doesn't that go against the neder? So the Gemara will explain all of this. But for now, we just say that for 30 days, we allow this relationship to go continue the way it is. However, Yosemite Kane, if it's more than this 30 days, that's not a healthy marriage, and Yosef takes Suba. If the woman wants, she can demand that she get divorced, and the husband will have to divorce her based then will force her to get her Ksuba. Rehuda disagrees. Rehuda Omer, if it's a Yisrael, be Yisrael, where you'll be allowed to be Mahzik Ushasu, so then we say, Chodesh Echod Yikaim, for 1 month we allow this. However, Ushtaim Yosef takes Suba. But if it goes beyond that, so then we insist that the husband divorce her, or if the wife demands it, then we insist that the husband divorce her, give her ksuba. But that's for Yisrael, who could be machzik gushasu. It's not the end of the world if he were to divorce her, and then they would decide to change her minds and get married. However, Cohen, who's not allowed to be machzik gushasu no matter what, so then we insist that 2 months we allow this to occur, a shnayim yikayim, that we do this by the pioneers to support her, but ushlosha, now in the Yerushalmi, the Ram brings down the name of the Rashba from the Yushalmi, that this means until the end of the third month. Ushlosh Yotzi, if you think so, but at the end of the third month, then if this isn't resolved, so then we go and say that she should go and be allowed to ask for a divorce and to get her ksuba. Mishra continues and says, Amadir is Ishto, if one makes a neder on his wife. Now, what do you mean makes a neder on his wife? It wouldn't take effect. So Rashi explains that we're talking here that the wife made a neder, that, for example, Shalo Titom Echod Mikol HaPeres, so she wouldn't eat a certain fruit, and the husband was Mekayimit. So it says if the husband made the neder on his wife, because he's Mekayimit. So then, Yotzi Yitink Suba. So then we insist, if the woman wants it, that the husband divorce her, and she gets entitled to a kesuba. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rehuda said that we give her a little bit of time. Rehuda Omer, be Yisrael, again, if it's a Yisrael, Yom Echod Yikayim. One day it's not the end of the world, and the Gemara will explain why this should be the end of the world in any event. So we'll wait till tomorrow she had to go and explain that. But Rehuda is more mekel than Tanakam. He says, for one day we will allow this to exist, if it's Yisrael, and Shtayim Yosef thinks so. But if it goes for more than one day, then we, if the woman wants it, we insist that the husband give her a divorce, and she gets a ksuba. But if it's a kohen, then since there can't be maksik ushas, so we say at least wait 2 days, Shtayim Mekayim, and then if it's the end of the third day, Shlosha Yosef thinks suba, then he should give the ksuba after the 3 days, and that's what the wife wants, to be divorced and to get a ksuba. Mishra continues, says similarly, Hamadir is Ishto Shlo Tiskashe the Echod Mikolaminim. The wife makes a neder that she's not going to put on a certain type of besamim, a certain type of perfume or cosmetic, and the husband is Makayim the neder. So then in that situation, Yoti the Ksuba, again, the Tanakhama says, give the Ksuba right away. That's it. Not a good marriage. Rabbi Yosef Omer, no, it depends. Baniyos, if she's a poor girl that she wasn't put on these cosmetics or the perfume every day, Shlo Nosan Kitzba. So since it doesn't have a time limit to it, so then you divorce even for a poor girl. However, Bashiros, Shloshim Yom. If there is a time limit for a rich girl for 30 days, so then up to 30 days we allow it, but beyond 30 days, that's too much even for a rich girl to go without putting on these perfumes. So basically, we're saying over here that for the poor girl, unless there was no time limit to it, so then there has to be a divorce. But if there's a time limit to it, so then poor girls aren't so used to it. For a rich girl who's used to it, so then the maximum time limit would be 30 days. Okay. Now we continue with the start of the Gemara. The Gemara asks the obvious question, like even the Meshubad law, since the husband is obligated to go and support his wife, Hechi Motzi Madula, how can he go and say that you're also to get Hanah from me? Even though it's not Tashmish, which we talked about in the previous Prokim, but how can he not provide her with the support? Kol Kamine, is it up to him, the Mafka law, Lishibuda? She has a Shibud on him to go provide support. So how can he not do this? After all, we learned, but Tanan, Mishnah Dorim tells us, if the woman would say to her husband, Konim She'eni Osel Aficha, we learned this previously, the woman says it should be like a carbon, that you shouldn't get any hanor from what I do, from my handiwork, so Ein Sar Chlafi, the husband doesn't have to go and be married that, because Alma Kivon Dimishabdole, since in this situation, she's obligated to give him her handiwork, so he doesn't have to go and be made for this neder. Lav kol kamina. She doesn't have the ability, it's not up to her, the Mavkalei L'Shibude, to go and remove what he's entitled to. So to Ovia, similarly, Hochanami, given the Meshubad law, since, in fact, the husband is obligated to support his wife, Lav Kol Kamine, it shouldn't be up to him. It's not within his power, the Mavkalei L'Shibuda, that he can't go and remove what she's entitled to. Someone says, no. Ella mitoch shiocho lomala, since he could say to her, Tzi ma'asi yodayach b'mizonosayach, yeah, I'm supposed to support you, but you're supposed to give me your handiwork. So I'm saying, I won't support you, and you keep your handiwork. As we turn to Ayin Amud Beis, It's as if he said to her, see, my siyadach bims on a sayach. So since he could say that, so we view it as if he did say that over here, and that's how he's allowed to go and not provide her with food, because she's really going to support herself. Now, the Gemara says, bim isa, wait a second. If this is true, now in the Mesoras Hashas, he brings down a Tosus above the Mitzia, that the word imisa means that that's how we paskin sometimes. So therefore we're saying, and it's true though, we have a problem. Because v'imisa l'hod Rav Huna Amarav, if we hold like, or that we do in fact hold like Rav Huna Amarav, who said, Rav Huna Amarav, yichol isha tomo labala, that the woman has the right to say to the husband, listen, thank you for your support, but the 50 bucks a week that you're giving me, I make 50 bucks an hour. So I'm not interested in your support, and in his onus, don't support me, v'ini osa, but my handiwork I'm not giving to you. So in this situation, konim shani osa l'ficha, if the woman were to say that anything that I make should be also to you, so am I in a tzarech l'office? So then why shouldn't the Baal have to go and be made for it? Because after all, lema, since we could say, mitosh yichol loma, since she has the right to say, ain't in his own, ain't in yosa, that I don't want your support because I'm going to keep my own money, I'm not giving you my handiwork. So nas, it's as if she did say it. Kimisho Mereslo, ain't in his own, ain't osa. So it should be the same thing for the husband as it is for the wife. Why say the husband, it's as if he said to her, so she could say it to him as well. I'm not going to take your support, any in his onus, and as well, any osa, and I'll give you my handiwork. So it should work both ways. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So why doesn't it work both ways? The one says, Ella, lo temo nase. Don't say, it's as if he said nase. Ella, ba'omer, he actually said, law to her, si masi yadayach b'mzonosayach. He actually said this, and therefore, if you actually say it, so therefore, that's why he's not obligated to support her. So the Gemara says, Yochi Pinus Lomoli. So why did the Mishnah say you have to set up a Pinus? So the Gemara says, Bidalo Safka, because she didn't earn enough money. Well, if he doesn't earn enough money, then he's obligated to support her. So then Ibidalo Safka, Hadar Kushin Ledukte. So then the question goes back to its original question. How is he allowed to go and do this? So we have a couple of solutions. The first one is from Ravashi. Oh, Ravashi, Bimaspekes, Ludvarm Gedolim, Bina Maspekes. For the big stuff, like the food, so she has enough money to earn. But for the little things, the extras, she doesn't have enough money to earn. So therefore, he has to support her for the little things. What exactly are you talking about, the little things? Either if she's accustomed to them, and therefore he's obligated to give them to her, so then, and he's obligated to do this, and it's not something that's optional. And if she's not accustomed to them, so then why does he have to support her with that? So it says it's an in-between situation. Lo tzricha, we're talking about the regila beveis nasha, that she was used to this in her husband, in her father's house, and her husband wasn't able to supply this for her. So she was saying, v'kol megal gula b'hadei. But she was saying, listen, as long as I'm living with you, I was happy. She said to him, until now, but we were living together in harmony, that you didn't make this vow, that you wouldn't give me anything, so gal gil no b'adoch, I was willing to go along without these extras that I would be normally entitled to because of my social status. So I was willing to go along with them. Listen, we'll live together in poverty. But now that you did this to me, now that you made a neder that I can't get anything from you, so then all of a sudden I'm not willing to be moyecha. I'm not going to forgive the fact that I don't have these little things. So now I'm insisting that you go and give them to me. And my see a dime, don't cover this. That's why you have to set up a partners. So one final point on this teretz from Ravashi, and that is Umay Shna Shloshim Yom. So why is it 30 days? Why does that make a difference? So At Shloshim Yom Lo Shomei B'Inshe. Because until 30 days, this is still between husband and wife. Not the whole world's going to know about it. So she doesn't have any embarrassment. For Lo Zilu B'Milsa, and therefore she's not humiliated. However, Tvei, more than 30 days, already everybody knows everybody else's business. Shomei B'Inshe. So people don't know about this. The Zilu B'Milsa, and she's going to be very embarrassed from this, and therefore that's why after 30 days, we say this is something that if she wants to, she could demand a divorce and be entitled to her ksuba. So that's teretz number one. This is a good breakpoint. Baruch Hashem, we caught up another amud for our days of Yom Tov that we're going to be not able to give this year. And with this, we conclude today's shir.